Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
Hi, I'm Larry. I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. God has given me the great privilege to be a youth pastor and also to serve in the media and internet ministry through my local church. I am thankful for the excellent training I received at West Coast Baptist College.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2004. Since that time, I've been serving God as an administrative assistant in a growing local church, and I really love serving God with my life.
Thank you for your prayers and support for the students and vision of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about West Coast or to share in the vision, visit us at wcbc.edu.
There's a sign along Southern California freeways that says food grows where the water flows. Even so, in the Christian life, fruit grows where the Holy Spirit flows. Next, with Pastor Paul Chappell, we'll study the fruit of the Spirit. Stay tuned, Daily in the Word. Is so many people come to Christ, they know Him as Savior, but they barely get past the first step of the Christian life. Few Christians really enter in to a Holy Spirit-led and a Holy Spirit-filled life where the fruit of the Spirit literally begins to transform who you are from the inside out. Do you long to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Well, the simple fact is God longs to grow that fruit in your life. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows. Daily in the Word features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California. It's a joy to minister to you every Monday through Friday via this radio program. If you haven't visited dailyintheword.org, be sure to do so. You can listen to this radio program via the internet and also through the podcast, a free subscription that brings every day's program right to your computer. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. But first, let's open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Here's Pastor Chappell to introduce today's message.
Have you ever noticed that the world's brand of love is a conditional love, oftentimes a sensual love, and a very temporary love? Well, today, as we open Galatians chapter 5, we're going to learn that there's a kind of love that grows from the Holy Spirit that is so Christ-like. It is so refreshing. It will make a difference in your marriage. It will make a difference in your life, even as you apply the truth today. And so I want you to open your Bible today and open your heart to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, as we learn about the fruit of the Spirit and as we understand more of the love that Jesus Christ wants to see in our lives every day.
Verse 4 says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that this love is a helpful love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Here we see then, first of all, that love is patient. And the word suffereth long means slowness of anger. In fact, I loved the study of this word. You can look it up yourself in a Strong's Concordance or something. But suffereth long comes from two Greek words, makrothermos, which means long time to boil. Suffereth long. Long time to boil. Now, do you know anybody that is quick time to boil? You know anybody that has a short what? Fuse. I mean, man, you just say the wrong thing. You just step on the wrong carpet. You know, you just utter the wrong word and it's all over. But the shouting and World War III has just begun. That is the opposite of love. Charity suffereth long. Charity is patient. It's like the quote I heard years ago. It simply said, to dwell above with those we love, oh, that will be glory. To dwell below with those we know, now that's another story. Now, folks, God doesn't want you to wait till you get to heaven to get along with people. He wants you to know how to love people right here and right now. I had a lady tell me one time, my husband is so temperamental. He is 90% temper and 10% mental. Now, that's a bad combination. But when you have the Holy Spirit working in your heart, you're going to be able to have love even with Mr. Temperamental. Acts 7:59 tells us a story about Stephen. And in verse 60, it says, and he kneeled down. This is when Stephen was being stoned to death as the first martyr of the church. And he kneels down. Stones are coming against him. And he says, Lord, lay not this to their charge. How many of you know there was great power from the Holy Spirit? There was great love in Stephen's heart to say, Lord, these guys that are killing me right now, don't blame them for this. He was a man filled with the love of God. Romans 12:17 says, recompense no man evil for evil. And so we see the greatness of love. It is patient. It is a patient love. Secondly, love is kind. Verse 4 says, love is patient. Not only is love suffer long, but it says, and is kind. Now, just as patience will take things from others that are sometimes harsh, kindness will give things to others even when they are harsh. And by the way, I think the first test of kindness is found in the home. Are you kind at home? I don't care how you treat a secretary. I don't care how you treat someone at work. I want to know how you treat your wife, your husband, your kids. That's where kindness needs to begin, in the home. 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Now, guys, I don't know why this is, but it seems to me that sometimes men are slower at being kind. It's just not our nature. It seems like sometimes the Lord has to hit us over the forehead with a 2x4 to remind us to be kind. My wife is such a kind person. A lot of times I'll get up in the morning, she'll have already my toothbrush out there with little toothpaste on it. Either she's kind or she's tired of bad breath. I'm not sure which, but she'll put a little note there. Hope you have a good day. She'll go down and find which Bible I was reading that night before, and she'll put a little note in there. I sure love you. Thank you for being a wonderful husband. She is kind that way. And love expresses itself in kindness that way. And so here we see that God is telling us that Christian love, agape love, is a helpful love. It is long-suffering, it is patient, and it is kind. Notice, secondly, not only the helpfulness of this kind of love, but the humility of Christian love. The humility of Christian love. Come back to verse 4, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. So we see here that love is not jealous. Love is not anxious against someone. But in fact, love and jealousy are mutually exclusive. You cannot love someone and be jealous of them at the same time. You know what you need to practice doing when someone gets blessed with a promotion or some possession or their kids are blessed? You need to practice being happy for them, because love is not jealous. You cannot say you love someone while you'll resent them being blessed. And I've seen so many times jealousy hurt relationships. I dealt with a man some time ago. He was so jealous of his wife, why she'd go to Kmart. He wondered who she was going over there to see. And I mean, the woman couldn't do one simple thing. And finally, when the truth of the matter came out, he had been having an affair on her. It wasn't so much that she didn't love him. It was that he did not love her. And you see, jealousy is the opposite of love. And so may we recognize this morning, jealousy is not a moderate sin. By the way, there's no moderate sins with God. Sin is sin. You say, well, how bad is jealousy? It was the reason for the first murder in the Bible, when Cain took the life of his brother Abel. Why? Because he was jealous of Abel. So love is not jealous. And may we see this morning that if we are going to have a Christ-like and a godly love, there will be a humility about us that will be glad when others are blessed. Secondly, love does not brag. Love does not brag. It says in verse 4, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself. You see, love is not conceited. And the Corinthian believers had a real problem with this. Those of you that have ever studied the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians, you know that this is not a church to model after. And I think there are many churches today that are just like the church at Corinth, and they're so proud of it, and they don't even get it. That this church was the most messed up church in the New Testament first century church. 1 Corinthians 14:26, if you want to turn over there, here's what Paul says to them. How is it, brethren, When you come together, every one of you has a psalm, a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done to edifying. In other words, these people were so braggadocious and so proud that they would come together. Every one of them wanted to sing a song. Every one of them wanted to give a message. Every one of them wanted to speak in tongues. Every one of them wanted to interpret. Every one of them wanted to do everything. Now, how many of you realize that if everyone in this room this morning sang a solo, it would be the opposite of worship? How many realize it could be almost just confusing if everyone said that? But that's what they were doing. Everybody came together. And they wanted, all wanted to sing. They all wanted, why? Because they were braggadocious. They were proud. They couldn't let someone else minister to them. And then notice, thirdly, love is not arrogant. The Bible says in verse 4, is not puffed up. It is not arrogant. And so oftentimes we see, even amongst Christians, an arrogant spirit rather than a humble spirit. William Carey was a Baptist missionary in India. William Carey knew 23 languages and dialects, and interpreted and translated the scriptures into those 23 languages and dialects. He was a very astute, renowned man in England during his time. And on one trip back to England, he sat at a table with a group of scholars and religious leaders, and one man said to him, "I understand, Mr. Carey, that before you went to India, you were a shoemaker." To which William Carey replied, "Oh no, I was never a shoemaker. I was only a shoe repairman." He was a man who never attempted to build himself up into anything bigger than God had blessed him to become. You see, arrogance is big-headed, but love is big-hearted. And we see the humility of biblical love is that it vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. So we see that biblical love is helpful. We see that biblical love is humble. Thirdly, biblical love is holy. The holiness of biblical love. There's something very sacred about agape love. It's the total opposite of eros, erotic behavior. It is something so holy and special that this world doesn't even recognize it. The Bible says in verse number 5, "Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil." Very quickly, this love is a love that does not behave unbecomingly. It does not behave, as it says here, unseemly or rudely. Now, the Corinthians were experts in being rude one to another. In fact, turn back a few pages to 1 Corinthians 11:21. Let me just show you the typical potluck at the First Baptist Church of Corinth. 1 Corinthians 11:21, it says, "For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken." So here they come to the fellowship, and Aunt Bertha brings a casserole, and so-and-so brings sauerkraut, and so-and-so brings, you know, roast beef, whatever. They're all bringing it in. How many of you are getting hungry right now? Mashed potatoes. What else can I throw in here? A little gravy. All right, good. Some of you are saying, "I'm out of here, man. It's 12 o'clock. I'm going to the hometown buffet." Well, the Methodists have already beat you, so just stick in here with me for another minute, okay? And they would go to this potluck, but the problem was that every one of them was so rude that they would eat before everyone else got there, and they'd eat so much there was no food left, and some of them drank so much that they became drunk, and so we see that they were acting rude or unbecoming in their behavior. Love is not rude. Love is thinking of others before themselves. Secondly, love does not seek its own. The verse says in verse 5, "Seeketh not her own." Now, someone said, if you can cure selfishness, you will replant the Garden of Eden. You know why we have marital problems? Because of our own self-centeredness. You know why there are relational problems? Because of pride. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention, and true love seeketh not her own. Philippians 2:4 says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And when you are exhibiting a Christ-like love, and when you are filled with the Spirit and flowing forth with love, you're going to be thinking on the way home, fellas, not, "I wonder if the old lady's got the meal ready." You're going to be thinking, "I wonder how I can be a blessing when I get home." See, this is one of the major issues that comes up in marriage counseling, is that two people come into a relationship with all these expectations. If I get married, she'll do this, 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 and this for me. If I get married, he'll do this, 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 and this for me. And it lasts for a little while, and then it's not happening like we thought. And all of a sudden, we realize we were not in love. We were really hoping with a philos, kind of a brotherly love, that we would have some of our needs met. But true love is not seeking its own. It's seeking the needs of others. Thirdly, love is not easily provoked. The Bible says in verse 5, not easily provoked. It is not easily aroused to anger. Jesus is the greatest example of love. The Bible says, and it's in your notes, 1 Peter 2:23, who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. When Jesus was spat upon, when Jesus' beard was taken from him, when Jesus hung on the cross, he simply said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then notice the fourth characteristic of this holy love. Love does not harbor evil. The Bible says here in verse 5, love thinketh no evil. Now, jot this little phrase down if you would. Love does not keep books on evil. Love does not keep a chart of accounts on evil. Love does not harbor evil. If you love someone, you're not keeping track. Now, ladies, a moment ago I said you are awesome at being kind. Let me come to the other and say, I don't understand this side of it either, but ladies have a better accounting system than men do when it comes to sins of the past. And the Bible says you're not to think about evil. I call it gunny sacking. You have an issue, you throw it in the sack. You have an issue, you throw it in the sack. You have an issue, you throw it in the sack. When the big problem comes, you dump the sack. See, how do you know that, Pastor Chapel? It's called counseling, 17 years of it in the Antelope Valley. I've had ladies come into my office and say, in 1987, he forgot my birthday. And in 1992, he forgot our anniversary. And in 1995, that's when he crashed my new car. 1996, he said my mother was, insert. But the Bible says, love thinketh no evil. And the Bible is very clear that Christ has not imputed our trespasses unto us, but that he has forgiven us, he has reconciled. And listen very carefully, God is not interested in assigning blame. He is interested in resolving your problem. And so many immature families, they come in for counseling, this is all they want to do, is assign blame, assign blame, assign blame. The problem is because this, 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 and this. Listen, that's all right, we'll start there. But we're not here just to figure out how the problem started. We're here to resolve the problem. And you're not going to resolve the problem if you're harboring all of the past issues. It's called forgiveness. And that's what love will do. Resentment keeps books. Love keeps no books. So the definition of biblical love, agape love is a high love produced by God. The description of biblical love, 1 Corinthians 13 has given us the description. Let's notice finally, and we're almost done, the display of biblical love. How do you know when you see it, Pastor Chapel? How is love displayed? How can I express this love each and every day? Well, someone said it this way, Christians should be God's love with skin on. We should be displaying love each and every day. Let me tell you how to do that. First of all, our love is displayed through giving. Through giving. Now, Amy Carmichael once said it this way. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. In other words, you can give something to someone without loving them, but you can't really love someone without giving to them. And so true love always expresses itself in some way. This world is so full with people who say, well, I really love you, man. Hey, love you, man. But it's never expressed. Love always expresses itself in some way. And so our love is displayed through giving. Let me share a few things that you can give to someone that God wants you to love. First of all, give them your time. Give your time. You give your time, you're giving your most valuable commodity. You're giving yourself when you give them your time. I heard about a teenage girl. She was 18 years old. She had a little brother about 3 years old named Johnny. And she always read stories at night to Johnny, but she got tired of it. She didn't want to read stories to him anymore. And so she had this ingenious thought. She thought, you know, if I'll read several of these stories into a tape recorder, then what I can do is just take the tape recorder into Johnny's room. He can press play anytime he wants, and he can hear the story. So she did that. She took the tape recorder into the room. She said, Johnny, here's the deal. Just press play anytime you want. You can hear the story. Isn't that great? He said, no, it doesn't have a lap. See, Johnny didn't necessarily want just the story. He wanted his big sister to spend time with him. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. And when you give your time to someone, whether it's your son, your daughter, your spouse, your friend, whoever it is, you are expressing your love to them. Not only should you give your time, but you should give your communication to them. You should communicate with people you love. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. We need to think of people and communicate with them. And some of you say, I've got a spouse that's so cold right now. Pastor Chappell, if you knew how hard it is, I just want to encourage you. Keep giving them time. Keep reaching out to them. Let them know you're there when they're ready to talk. Let them know that God loves them. Let them know that you love them. Keep expressing that to them. And thirdly, you need to give your forgiveness. Some of you today, in order to rekindle love in your relationship, need to give forgiveness to them. 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a, what does it say there? Liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen, the Bible says. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. And so we see that we can express our love through giving. And then finally this morning, God's love was displayed through giving, was it not? God displayed his love to us through his giving to us. Now think of this for a moment. John 3:16, you know it. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Think of this verse, Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his what? Love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now listen very carefully. Before you were ever born, God, who knows all things, knew every sin that you and I would ever commit. He knew every dastardly deed. He knew every wicked thought we would ever have, in that while we were yet sinners, the Bible says, he died for us. And when he died on that cross, every sin you and I ever would commit was placed upon him that day. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, my friend, God loves you right now today. And God wants you to experience his love. God wants to forgive your sin. God wants you to have a home up in heaven. The fact is, there is nothing you can do to make God love you more. There is nothing you can do to make God love you less. God loves you. His love is unconditional. His love is impartial. His love is everlasting. His love is infinite. His love is perfect. And his love is for you right now this morning. He loves you and he wants you to be his very own. Jesus loved you so much that he shed his blood to say, I love you. It is written in red, I love you. And the question is this morning, will you receive his love? You see, the Bible says that whoever will receive him, whoever will call upon him, will be saved. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Are you his son or daughter today? I hope that you are. Because if you are, you have experienced the love of God in your very own life.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. You can find out more about Daily in the Word. You can listen to this message or recent messages from Daily in the Word when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. I'll tell you about that in just a moment. But here to wrap up today's program is Pastor Chappell.
One of my favorite verses is 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Friend, if you do not know that you have eternal life, right now you can receive Christ as your Savior. Just admit to the Lord that you know you are a sinner, that you cannot save yourself, and that you believe he, as the Son of God, shed his blood for your sin and rose again for your justification. And then ask him to come into your heart, forgive your sin, and make you his child. When you do that by faith, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and you can know that you have everlasting life.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, before we close out today's program, I want to invite you to visit us online and to find out more about the large and growing online ministry of Pastor Chappell. First of all, this program can be found at dailyintheword.com. www.wescoastbaptistcollege.org. And from Daily in the Word, you'll find links to recent programs. You'll find links to where our program can be heard across the country. You'll also find links to our other websites. And I want to encourage you to visit Pastor Chappell's personal blog at paulchappell.com. And also a brand new resource site that we've launched from our ministry entitled ministry127.com. Simply go to ministry127.com. You'll find a treasury of resources for local church ministry, all of it for free. We know it will benefit you greatly. Again, visit us at dailyintheword.org. When you do, you can click on the radio series, listen to today's broadcast or recent broadcasts. You can also click on the Donate tab, and we would so appreciate your investment into our efforts as we continue to minister the grace of God and the Word of God across the country and through this ministry. We appreciate your partnership. If we can be of help to you, please give us a call toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. And until next time, have a great day.